You could never have that. Right, Frank? You never have that in the United States. Never. And India is, well, a non-Christian country. And I know what I'm speaking about, because born in the United States, my whole life except my travels in America. There are people, I'm not exaggerating, who travel on Sundays over 100 miles to get to Mass. Because so many churches, Catholic churches, well, only God knows if their Masses are valid. Your sisters, I think I told you, in Detroit, gave me, I teach them every Thursday. They gave me two cookies, which they received for Holy Communion. Great big cookies. Not valid. Priests, you change the words of consecration. In any case, for 300 years, the Christianity was underground. But hear it. During those 300 years, first of all, Masses, as we said, were being offered underground. By the year 100 A.D., not just Rome itself, but the Mediterranean shores, was covered with Christian blood. And yet, by the year 100 A.D., maybe I told you this, over 100 dioceses, did I tell you this? Over 100 dioceses by the year 100 A.D. The church needs, hear it, needs the blood of martyrs to grow. Am I clear? But no churches were allowed above ground. Christianity was absolutely forbidden by law under penalty of death. To become a Christian meant to expect death. So, you're talking about the real peasants. The Blessed Sacrament was reserved. Preserved. Where? Among the hermits and the hermitesses. A hermit is a man. A hermitess is a woman. And of course, the only kind of religious life that could even survive in those first three centuries was, what else? Cloistered, contemplative, hidden life. And the hermits would carry the Blessed Sacrament with them, allowed to do so, both by the Pope or popes, because there were many, many popes in the first 300 years. You know why? Because one after another of the popes for 300 years, not one pope for three centuries died a natural death. They were all martyred. So the real peasants was preserved by the religious in the early church. There were tabernacles in the first century to preserve the host. Now, this is extremely important because the faith in the real presence, and hear it, the faith in the real presence outside of Mass and outside of Holy Communion, that the real presence, Jesus Christ, is present in the Eucharist, I repeat, after Mass and outside of Communion, was believed by the very earliest Christians. And this is what nowadays we have to keep clear, because the United States, one church after another, is removing the tabernacles. Ones who safeguarded, preserved the Blessed Sacrament as a real presence were in the early 3 centuries the religious, who had to be necessarily hermits or hermitesses, anchorites or anchoresses. That's the women. And because of the persecution, they were allowed to keep the Blessed Sacrament on their person, also in traveling. Now, I thought I'd say something about the names given. The names given to the various ways in which the Blessed Sacrament was both preserved and reserved. There was the Chrismal, C-H-R-I-S-M-A-L. Another name, there was the Parola. Another name, it was the Pastophorium. Another name, the Neoconicon. And a very beautiful name, the Secretarium, which would be translated secretary. In other words, kept in secret. And from the very beginning, sisters, the Blessed Sacrament was reserved in such a way would be kept in hiding from the pagans. Already the Council of Nicaea, who remembers the date of the Council of Nicaea? 325 A.D. Remember, Nicaea was the first general council of the church. And what did Nicaea define? Defined that Jesus of Nazareth is who? Is the living God. Against what heretic? Remember the name of the Arius. A-R-I-U-S. Who denied Christ being true man and true God. And sisters, I could now talk for hours about Nicaea. And I keep repeating, but sisters, as I've said how many times, a good teacher repeats without boring.